This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3864 for Thursday, the 25th of May, 2023. Today's show is entitled 2022-2023 New Year's Show Episode 8. It is part of the series HPR New Year Show. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 123 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is 2022-2023 New Year's Show, where people come together and chat.
Oh, that is cool. Old style radio, and you rip the guts out and put something else in?
That's something I need to do. I haven't done that yet.
Okay, I'm back. That's my telephone.
That's my
That is cool.
You ever seen one?
No. You said it was a tele what?
Telefunken. It's a German radio. It's AM and shortwave.
Oh, cool.
It's got the best sound quality of any over-the-air radio that I've ever heard. It got dropped in a move, and a tube broke inside, and I haven't opened it up to look at it, but someday I will. Before that, when you turned it on, the signal strength was in this green tube. It looked like fucking plutonium getting tighter and tighter. The stronger your signal was, and you could watch it tune, and it glowed like fucking kryptonite. Superman was running fear when you tuned in your radio station. It was terrific.
Nice.
Yeah, it's sad that it broke. It's because I would make an AM transmitter just to see that thing work again. It was That's cool.
Yeah, you should fix it.
I know. I should someday. I have to learn about tubes. I know nothing about tubes, but yes, awesome.
You had mentioned
Sound quality while motorcycling, and like my brother, like I said, he motorcycles. He wears a helmet. He absolutely hates in-ears. So he had me make a custom pair of the LGs.
Hates in-ears on the bike or hates in-ears off the bike? Two different
things.
Hates
in-ears in general.
Okay, because so, I love them off the bike, but yeah, they're impossible on the bike. He's right about that.
He had me modify some of the LG HPSs so that he could use the ones that hook behind the ear and then sit on top of it. And that was an interesting build. And it sounded quality, even though the drivers weren't that expensive.
What I would recommend for an even doper project than that is find out if he uses Senna or Cardo and buy a helmet clamp, a helmet kit, whatever matches that brand. The kits are universal. So you just find one. If it's Senna, get a Senna, like whatever model he has, match that. And wire a cool set of headphones to that. They need volume. They have to be clear at volume. I usually wind up blowing mine out because I turn them.
Right.
The faster you're going, the more wind noise there is that you're trying to defeat. So you just smoke the speaker. So a bigger speaker that you can, you turn it down over here. A bigger speaker that you can underdrive is definitely preferable, but you have to be conscious of the size of the ear cup.
Right.
Because it's got to be right up against your earplugs to work.
Take apart some DT770s, some of the high ohms.
They allegedly come with some pretty good ones now. The Cardos are coming with JBLs. And Senna, after being just smoked in the reviews for like 3 years, are doing Harman Kardon, which apparently is owned by JBL. So it's probably the same speaker anyway.
Hmm.
Time out real quick from audio stuff. Honky Magoo,
yes.
Taj, and Lyle, X1101, are not here right now. Dude, they love you so much. We've never met, you and I. I'm thrilled to meet you.
We have met.
Then I'm an asshole.
No, we are at NELF.
What's that?
At Northeast Linux Fest.
Did we really? Which one?
So I had, when we had first started the Lugcast, you're the one who sent us the audio that we use for the beginning at the of the show, which was put together by Klaatu and Brome, that weird little
downright.
And when I saw you, because we were all standing around in one of those rooms, I was talking with Rich for a little bit, and then I kind of came over and was like, hey, you know, thanks for sending that to us, because you actually sent it, I think, to 50. But, yeah.
Probably he's a linchpin. The what?
Yeah. I talked to you very briefly, so.
Oh, well, I'm pleased to. Dude, you're awesome. They're right about you.
Okay, thank you.
No, but wall of audio. Well, one of them. Marshalls.
Oh, yeah, the fish thing.
Blue Parrot. Audio Technica. Skull
no,
candy,
I was
Skull Candy.
No,
Skull Candy.
I was goofing. I was riffing on Grateful Dead's Wall of Sound.
Razor.
Thank you, Gorkon. Thank you. See, people, this is why we let bygones be bygones. Sometimes you give them a layup.
Now, I think that would be interesting. Actually, one of the things I think it would be kind of nice to do is I currently have a Bluetooth headset I use for Zoom calls for work. And it works, but I'd like to have one that's more comfortable. I just haven't found one that's reliable and more comfortable.
He just got done telling you how to build one.
I know. No.
Here's the one Joel sent me that fixed those and LG put back tones. Together. Yeah, the LG Tones. It's on camera, in case you were wondering, Joel.
Okay.
On Jitsi.
I haven't clicked the link yet. But, were those the battery bad on those?
No. The battery still works on them all really good. I don't know, because the battery didn't look swollen, but something had obviously shifted position and that had pushed the drivers outward, and all I did was push them back together and glue them in place, and they've worked fine since.
So has anyone else tried the Pine Buds yet?
No, are they available to order yet?
I got mine. They seem to work pretty well. I'm not a big fan of any sort of in-ear headphones, but they have pretty good quality and they seem to work.
Nice.
Murph and NJ?
Indeed.
How's the Hyundai, brother? What was that scream from Hyundai?
I don't have a Hyundai.
No, you did when you gave me a ride in your Hyundai.
I have never owned a Hyundai. I had
V6?
I had an Acura RSX, and now I have a BRZ.
No, before that, like 2009 when we met at NELF, or 2011, it might have been the third NELF.
That would have been the Acura RSX.
Mm.
Are you sure?
You're questioning whether I know whether I owned a particular brand of car? I'm pretty sure, yeah.
No, it just strikes me that I saw a picture of your Acura. It was a red one, but the car we were in was a Hyundai, a white, not Tiburon. What was the other, the real hot shit Hyundai? It did a lot of shifting.
No, I'm pretty sure I had a dark silver RSX and have never owned a Hyundai.
Really? Whose car did I, that might have been Flying Rich's car.
Flying Rich had a Genesis, which is Hyundai based.
Yes, thank you. I'm
sorry.
And
you're probably talking about his, I hope.
I was only looking at pictures of yours. Yes, I drooled at your car also, but only pictures. I'm sorry. My bad.
It's okay. I love the fact that you're like, are you sure you didn't own that? But yeah, pretty sure I know which cars I've owned, yeah.
I was just making sure that my memories weren't, like, completely invented. There had to be some, route, to ground of truth somewhere.
I'm still processing the fact that you mixed me and Flying Rich up, but, I'm working on that.
I would call that an insult.
Yeah, me too.
No. Much love for both of you. You guys are on equal love levels. It was just lusting after one guy's car in pictures and going for a ride in a lusty car. Come on, you got to forgive me for forgetting that. 15 years ago.
Come on, man, get it together. Hey, if you want to see the car I'm driving now, you could look on my Mastodon profile. So
there you go. I did. I got the ride in, what was her name? Why can't I remember her name? Amber?
You got to ride in Amber and then you forgot her name?
Amber Grainer. Sorry, Amber Grainer.
Always get slapped for that
little,
stuff.
A little messed up, Joel.
Yeah.
Does your wife know?
She knew I took a ride with her. But in her car, though. She had a...
by the dashboard light.
You guys were doing it in the car? That sounds
uncomfortable. No, Amber has
Come on, folks, are we not doing phrasing here?
Hold on. No, it is absolutely comfortable. You have to have the right car. You have to have a Fox Body Mustang Coupe.
Ooh, that's old.
So am I. What are you doing?
I know, so am I, too. Amber has a Dodge Challenger, one of the newer ones, that was pretty freaking sweet. She came to self for a little bit. She spoke at OLF this year, so for what OLF was this year, which wasn't a whole lot. Well, I live in the same town as OLF, so it's kind of hard to tear myself away when the family knows I'm just a few minutes away,
Yeah. So, Murph, did you keep the Acura, or you just sold it on with the next one? Do you have any older cars?
Nope. I only have the one daily driver, the RSX. I drove to 289,000 miles and then dumped it off.
Wow, nice. Wow. Well done.
Yeah, The car I'm driving now, the BRZ, I only have 160,000 on it. So it's, you know, mostly broken in at this point.
Did you say 108 or 168?
168.
Wow. And what year is that one?
That's a 2014.
Okay. What was the cutoff for the first gen and second gen?
Good question. 2018, 2019, something like that. I'm definitely first gen.
That's what I thought. Okay. I just drove a 2020, so it's second gen. It's the first time I've ever driven a BRZ, and it was plenty impressive. It was absolutely communicative and responsive and like, it just, dude, it had it. It spoke to you. It was a great car.
Yeah, I really enjoy driving it. People look at it and say, oh, is it fast? I'm like, no, it's not fast.
Doesn't
it's
have
fun
to
drive.
Yeah,
it is balanced, and it's just a riot to drive. I would rather have a car I can drive and enjoy every minute of it than an exotic
that
I'm pounding to pieces on the streets of New Jersey and not even getting it to, you know, 4/10 of what its potential. This car I can drive and have fun with the way it is.
Do you ride motorcycles too, Murph?
Indeed, I do.
Middleweights, lightweights?
I have no idea what classifies as what. I have a 2009 Triumph America, and it's an 800, and it's plenty for me.
800 is upper middleweight, yeah. Yeah, I love middleweights, dude. The lighter, the better. But I like to ride long, long distances, so it's hard to go with like a, you know, a 300 or a 400. But yeah, I love long days on middleweight bikes. That bike's got to be... Do you ride it long?
You know, I don't ride it that long anymore. A lot of the, you know, they're not doing the tours as much, you know, the charity runs. So I don't get out as much as I used to, that and working from home. So I'm not commuting on it and I'm not doing any big rides. So I don't ride as much as I used to.
No, I didn't mean big rides with a lot of people. Like I go out alone, but I try to go out. Done it 2 years in a row now. I try to go for four days, three nights, and just go camping.
Nah, I tend not to do stuff like that. I tend to do, you know, one-day trips or one day out and back type of thing.
Yep. We've done that in the car. We got the Miata, so I totally get the BRZ.
Yeah, definitely cars in the same spirit.
It's in the same spirit of that size and class of motorcycle, particularly, yeah. Yep, it's all about just wringing it out from time to time. You don't always have to be nuts, but you don't always have to be sane. You know, and occasionally making your passenger scream.
Yeah, I always like to say a little minor jackassery once in a while. Other than that, it's all good.
I almost got a spit take out of you. Oh, I wish I waited. Oh, this has been so lovely, but I think if I stand a chance of getting to church in the morning, I need to start closing my eyes.
Hey, I'm glad I caught you while you were on, though. Haven't talked to you in... Man, when was the last time I talked to you? One of the Northeast Linux Fest, I think, which is a zillion years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to figure out before I go, if you don't mind. Honky Magoo, which one was it at? Which location?
I talked to you at the last one, so it was at that hotel.
There were two at hotels.
The one in Worcester?
No, I think it was Cambridge in a hotel.
No, I think it's back. Oh, we talked in the hotel after Cambridge. Yes,
so
that makes sense.
There was. I went to the one where it was at the
MIT
college, not MIT. I think the one where what's his name worked at.
Klaatu. No, not Klaatu. I'm sorry.
Because it was run by.
Wasn't MIT? It's not Harvard.
It might have been Harvard.
It was in Cambridge. There aren't that many of them. Was it the Harvard School of Computers? Is that what it was?
Maybe.
They had an ENIAC there.
So the two people who ran the event was Jonathan Nadeau and...
One of my best church buddies, it was his best man at his wedding. Total coincidence. Small world.
Jonathan?
No, Jonathan's partner.
Oh.
Yes, I'm trying to remember his name too. I was buying you time.
Thank you. He's the one who worked at the college. But I went to two NELFs. I went to one that was at the college, and then the following year they did one, and they had to swap venues several times, and then it wound up being in a hotel, and they had two rooms. One was like a bigger room for, or maybe it was like three rooms. Well, I know I spent a good time sitting with Dor. And then there was the big hall.
Oh, okay.
So they had a separate whole. They had a wholly separate, like a whole separate room for vendors, and you were over in there. We were all just kind of hanging out in that room for a while.
Did the room with the HPR booth, did it have a really high ceiling, and we were throwing party poppers that jumped in the air, or was it like a lower ceiling and a bunch of makeshift tighter?
Tighter.
Okay. So tighter. Yes.
I could almost say that the HPR table was way in the corner, like almost by like where there was a window or something. But, like,
that's
there was
where we like it. Back.
Yeah, that was the year that X101 actually showed up and started talking with you. And I wish I was a little bit more talkative back then. That I would have met and talked with him and other people. But
you've been our fourth host on your random.
I mostly talked.
Actually, you would have been the third host, and I wouldn't have been involved. Because you're a lot more likable than I am.
That's not true at all.
They've told me so.
Especially since you ran in the shot from off of the book club, and I kept missing the book club.
It also shot off of Dev Random. There's still an HPR room up there. It shot off, and when Lyle went to get the domain, he went for Dev Random. He's like, "Damn it, someone's already got it. Who's got it? Motherfucking Pokey." and I don't have it, and I don't have those shows, and I would give almost anything to get them.
Dev Random's still around. I had a bunch of them. I got them off of I want to say archive.org has them. They're somewhere.
Likely.
Oh, I gotta have them. I gotta have the robot whorehouse skit.
I downloaded a bunch of them when I want to say around the time that 50 died, I decided I was going to re-listen to a lot of the older Dev Randoms because I was searching around for the past things that he had done. I found links, and I found links to all of the older Dev Randoms.
Does anybody know Sound Chaser still?
No.
Because I chased him off Dev Random unintentionally, and I would love to apologize to him for it. If anybody sees him, tell him I'm sincerely, deeply sorry, and I still love the guy.
You know, you mentioned that the episodes are up on archive.org. That sounds like something that they would very likely have and would be really hard to search for.
Yes, thank you. Which is a really nice way of saying, here's a link, Pokey. Either way, it'd be great.
I miss chatting with Peter64. He was just such a great guy.
Dude, he was everybody's brother from another mother, isn't he?
Yep. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I see he's been posting a lot of astronomy pictures lately.
Yeah, he was the first guy in my circle sphere that ever mentioned, I don't know, maybe like Google Earth or something similar on a handheld device out in the field. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a great guy. It'd be cool if he would pop into here, but, and as was Fitty. Man, I miss that guy.
As was As. Since you mentioned him.
Yep.
You remember As?
I think I do. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, As was so cool. So cool.
I just assume he passed, right?
What's As? No, I have no idea. I hope not. God, I hope not. He was just such a cool guy. Just so mellow, laid back.
He's one of the older guys, so that's why I said that. But I hope he didn't either.
Yeah, he was out in Montana, just super friendly, super neighborly. You know, you want to go meet him personally? Go right ahead. He'll meet up with you. I think he met with Peter64, in fact, when Peter came to the West Coast. Or I completely fabricated that because they're both such great guys that they would do that.
Yeah, they both would. I don't remember when Peter came out. He came, well, that was the same year he came to go to the Southeast Linux Fest. And that happened to have been one of the years I missed. I haven't been to every Southeast Linux Fest, and I've gone to more since they've switched to the – I've been to more of them at the Sheridan Charlotte Airport, which is like their permanent home now, than I have been to the others. I didn't go to the one at Clemson or the one at the – trying to remember the hotel. Jeremy tells an awesome story about that, and he had that in his speech a few years ago. I think it was the 10th year for the Southeast Linux Fest that he did a recording with Ask Noah on the history of Southeast Linux Fest. And I was also to the one where the wedding party crashed the fest party. Me, Dave Yates, and Patrick Volkerding were all hanging outside. And one of the, I'm assuming a bridesmaids or somebody attending the reception to that wedding, she comes out, goes, "We love computers," and flashes her tits. And Dave and Patrick never even notice. And me and Dan are standing, Double A and Dan are standing there like with our mouths open. We're like, okay.
You know, it's funny. I was at that one and I had run out to get something out of the hotel room when that event happened.
You just missed it, right? Yeah, you just missed it, I think.
Yep, exactly.
And I'm like, Dave, how could you not notice this very fine set of tits? Actually, I know how, because I've met his wife, who's super nice.
So I found that the original show podcast link, I believe, is still available. It's I put both links in Mumble here. DevRandomShow.org, and then the first link I put in before that, I think, was a link to most of what's available to download still.
Honky Magoo, that was the politest anyway that I've ever heard. And it was a slam dunk and you missed it. Which what you call an alley-oop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, everyone, even Gorkon, who's nodding and laughing, only Honky Magoo knows what I'm talking about. Verbal.
Oh my god. Hi, man.
Hey, what's up?
Verbal, I know we've spoken before, but I'm gonna have to hear your voice for a while to even recognize you. It's been so long. How you been?
Yeah.
I have been good.
Oh, you're coming into sharp focus, Verbal. Oh, you are my favorite Linux brother, are you not? That was too quiet. Am you? I think you, dude. I remember your HPR episodes. They're coming into focus. You have done HPR episodes, haven't you?
Way back in the day.
I asked that question in this room earlier. There were seven people in the room, and everybody said no, they'd never done one. And then proceeded to talk about the awesomest stuff that should be HPR episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How have you know, we may not have spoken in person. I just might be remembering your episodes that fondly.
Yeah. I don't think we've spoken.
Well, I'm thrilled.
Sorry, I had to go kiss my wife. It's New Year's.
Good thinking.
Happy New Year to your wife. Hey. And you. And the family.
Hey, you should have been on earlier, Joel. My
All
wife
the
was
shorter.
On. The kid was on. One of the kids was on.
Yeah, but they always make an appearance every once in a while until, so that's cool.
Well, you get to hear the eldest one on every week on Tilts.
Yeah, because she's short.
Because she's short.
She's taller.
No. We're talking about Kai.
You were you're talking about cars. My dad bought a 2008-2009 Saturn Sky. I don't know which year for sure, but
it's not the kind of cars we were talking about.
No, it's not. He does have one he's trying to sell. He bought a...
Oh, 2 points.
There you
in
go.
Heavy defense. Slam dunk. That was not an alley-oop, folks. He took that one.
No, it wasn't. Now, he does have a Corvair.
And the crowd goes wild.
There you go. Yeah.
What? Somebody's even doing the swinging around towel thing while he spins in a circle. This might be the drive they need to make it to the next Happy New Year. Happy New Year. 3 minutes late. Happy New Year.
Right. So he does have a Corvair to sell, and that's he
Those
bought a,
are a, awesome. Have you been in it?
Well, no, because it hasn't been able to run since he bought it. He actually
that
drove
shouldn't
it.
Have stopped you. You got you go and you go.
He drove it home.
You go. Oh my god, this thing's dangerous at any speed.
It's in pieces, though.
That's like saying you don't look at the strippers because you can't go home with them.
Right.
Yeah,
it's in pieces.
Con, that still shouldn't stop you. You sit, bring a lawn chair if you have to, and sit in the middle of the pieces.
True.
Or listen to Cake, the bucket seat song from Cake is perfect in that scenario.
Never there.
And I don't know. No,
the other one, bucket seats.
Right, he said buckets, but yeah, I think
never there is the reality though. Actually.
Right. Anyway,
anyway.
Yeah, I said it.
Anyway.
But he bought it intending on he was gonna rebuild it. You know, and he actually
okay. But,
yeah.
I'm sorry. This is how I drove Sound Chaser off. So you guys have to cut me off. His No, I mean it. Please, I'm not trying to be mean, Corcon. Sound Chaser used to say actually in three or four times per sentence, and I did. Let's drink to actually, and it drove him away, and I never heard saw him again. And I don't want to do that again. It's not what I'm trying to do here, Corcon, and it wasn't what I was trying to do with Sound Chaser.
I got it. It's all right. But there you go.
Anyway,
so he bought this fully intending on he was going to redo it all. And make it actually look nice and drive nice. He actually managed to drive it home. How? I don't know, because after he started taking stuff apart, he realized that the floor pan is completely rusted out. So,
well, yeah, it's a yes, of course.
Yeah. So, but
I mean, it's like I was going to say Corvair, but then really it's GM in the 60s. It's
well, yeah,
but
well, yeah,
Corvair
yeah.
is exemplary.
Yeah, but
hey, Murph.
Yeah.
Have you ever, while driving one of your cool cars, have you ever made your passenger scream on purpose? And then they were like, oh, that was fun.
Not only have I done that, I've also done that to car salesmen on a test drive.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, pretty good. No, there's a road by me that I've learned how to do that to any, no matter how hardened the criminal, I can make them scream in my passenger seat. It's one particular turn that's terrifying.
Yep. So...
And yeah, it's wicked safe cool. to do because you go into it on the brakes. So you just tap them a little harder right when they're most scared. And, you know, they bounce off the dashboard.
Hey, Jackie. Oh, I was looking to see if you wanted on for a few minutes.
Yeah, you know, when you know the road, you can play these small cars and just push people over the edge. It's great.
Yeah, I can.
It reminds me of being a teenager in Iowa. And... we had these this double set of 15-mile-per-hour curves between Ballard and West Bend.
Did they cross a railroad track? We had one like that in Ohio that shot across a railroad track.
No, those particular ones didn't, but that was because there was absolutely nothing out there.
But same chicane shape?
Yeah, essentially just an S. But yeah, it was supposed to be 15 miles per hour the one way and 15 miles per hour the other way. But we always took them at 80 because we knew the road so well, and I knew my car. And, you know, back end sliding the whole way, but yeah.
I was not good at sliding cars or really controlling them all that well as a teenager, but there was a 35-mile-an-hour zone growing up where at 70... plus, it was a jump, and the better, faster you're going, the better the jump was. But I've gone back there and looking at it from a logical standpoint, the braking zone, if you land perfectly, is so short. It's, dude, mm-hmm. I'm lucky to be alive, and so is anyone who was ever in a car with me when I did that.
Yeah. Well, we also did other crazy things, like, you know, those ridges going up to, or they'll do those ridges on your way up to a sudden stop sign.
The cuts across the road, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And they like sound different at different speeds. Yeah, and I once decided I wanted to know what they sounded at while doing 100. So, yeah.
They sound the same. The pitch is just slightly different.
Yeah. But I wanted to know.
Well, there's that one road in Japan where it plays a song. And it's, it's completely out of key because they like used a different tape measure when they were laying it out or something.
Still.
That would be cool.
Is Joe actually saying anything?
Who?
Joe?
Me? Yes. As far as I know, I'm having conversations with people. Am I hallucinating again? It happens.
No, I hear you.
Wait, no, none of us are hearing Joe.
Am I not going fast enough? Is that the problem? I got to bring it up to 100 again?
If only Joe would speak, it'd be great.
Right? Drug.
You know, I didn't set out to screw with Joe, but opportunity just presents itself.
The opportunity knocks but
sometimes,
once.
Sometimes you just got to, Murph.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be waiting till next year for Little Knife to come back.
Oh, did you want Kai on the call?
Well, it was so delightful when she was out here. I mean...
Or Tala.
I think it was Tala.
Yeah, Tala was on the call earlier, and Kai was on last year. Kai's been hiding from me today, though.
Is JoJo home?
Huh?
Is JoJo around?
JoJo went to bed.
Uh-huh.
What some of us probably should do soon.
Nah. What's the fun of the week?
Yeah, folks, it's been great chatting with you, but I'm fighting off a cold, so I'm gonna pack it in. Good talking with you all.
Bye, Murph. Murph.
Good night, Murph. It's great seeing you again.
Happy New Year, Murph.
Yep. Have a good one.
Happy New Year.
And I was just typing good night, so I was going to slip out quietly. Good night, all.
Good night. Good to see you.
Great to see you guys who I've seen before. Great to meet you new guys and ladies who were on. It was it's been awesome talking to everybody. Cool. Like old school phone freaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Talo, so he sounded about as sharp as about two of us.
Yeah, she's pretty bright, but I tried to convince her to, like, get on here on her phone, and she didn't want to. She was too busy reading fan fiction of some flavor.
Is that a new box, or is that the older one?
Yeah, no, this is a new one. The old one was larger and, like, black all the way around. But this one, just a little bit smaller. Just got it done printing today and got it screwed together while on here. So, show it.
Nice.
And I'm going to put shorter cables in here. Shorter USB cables.
Am I still printing?
Yes.
Yes, I am. Actually, right now, I was working with my printer earlier, and I had some adhesion issues, so I took it apart, washed the bed down. I have the fan, all the replacement fans. I need to replace all the fans in the controller. I just haven't gotten around to it, because once in there, while noisy, are still working, so... I'm going to probably do that. We got one of them banker holiday things coming up because I get some of those off because I work with a higher ed. So, there's quite a few days I'll get off. Yeah. I think that's the next one. I might plan a day that day doing that since the wife won't get off work.
So, which computer do you have?
I currently have a very modified CR10 mini. Okay. It doesn't have the original board in it. I replaced that with an SKR of some sort. So it has the silent drivers on it. It's got a double, the metal extruder feed that has the wheels on both sides of the filament. Not a direct drive. I don't know if I'm going to go direct drive on this one. I'm kind of overdue for get. I'd like to get another printer. But that might happen later this year. But I actually just ordered another drone this afternoon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I ordered the DJI Mavic Mini 3, the Mini 3, and the complete kit with the case and extra batteries and all that stuff. So that's my, you know, kind of touched a little bit on both my hobbies, that in a photography. Currently have a Sony. It does work with Darktable. But because I just do so much of it and it's worth it, and I use it for other things. I do subscribe to Creative Cloud, unfortunately, but just haven't really found a good workflow for video editing, although I haven't made a video in over a year now, so. But let's count the little ones I make on my phone.
Now, what type of things have you been printing recently?
That's a good question. I've just tried right now. It's just been giving me fits right now, so I've been trying to make it work reliably again. I might just have to pull out the filament. I ordered some glow in the dark filament that I was trying to use to make Christmas ornaments. I used to make one a year for like 4 or 5 years in a row. I did it, and I just didn't get it working well enough this time in time for the holiday. So. That's why I'm trying to use a glow-in-the-dark filament.
Glow-in-the-dark filament is very harsh.
Is it? It can be, yeah. And I don't honestly care about wearing my... I have the standard brass nozzle. I don't care about wearing it up because they're cheap
put
enough.
Put another one.
Yeah, no big deal. You know, so... but what I found, like, since the pandemic and the stupid amounts of printing people were doing... to make protective gear for doctors and whatnot. A lot of the filament I've gotten after 2020 has not been great.
Well, what type of glow-in-the-dark filament did you get? PLA?
ABS? Yeah, it's PLA. It's PLA. Yeah. And I got, like, a cheap pack, which is probably part of the problem right now. Probably should try putting my Solotech back on, see if it works any better. I've actually just got another hot-end... I think yesterday in the mail from Amazon.
Over here.
So, hi. Oh, cool. Aww. So I'll probably do that maybe, but I want to spend some time dialing in the leveling on it and try another print. I did print. I found a Thingiverse. Basically, there's these two clip-like things, very very short print, maybe 20 minutes for one pair, and you take your cable. And it has like a spot for you to wrap the cable, then an end where you can take the end of the cable and stick it in that and kind of keep it tangling.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, I do a lot of cable management, actually. I have printed a lot of those. There's one that's like a print-in-place thing where you can bend it after it comes off the print, and basically it snaps shut really nice. I got them hot glued under a couple of my desks and got the cables tied up so I don't kick them. So
I win.
Oh, Lord.
I think you make
it. You need cable management.
Yeah. Well, so one thing that I get is at work they had put in a new security camera system. So, well, they put in some new security cameras. So they were they're running Cat6 through the place, but they had like 6 rolls of Cat6 that they were just going to throw out that were like 3/4 of the way done.
Nice.
So I got like this that I can. So my plan, and I got a while ago, I wanted to learn how to make my own cabling and stuff. So I got like a kit to cut the wires and stuff, and I got a couple of ends. So I gotta practice and learn how to put my the ends in right.
See, that reminds me of when we built our house. Since we were building it from the get-go, I talked to the electrician and said, hey, can you, because the electrician is the one who puts the phone cabling and all that in the house and the coax. So I said, hey, can I get some Ethernet RAN? And I did. It was like an extra $500 that we had to, I just paid for separately just because they have to do it in order to get everything to pass inspection and all that stuff. So they would not let – no builder will let you run your own cable anymore when you're building a new build. So $500 was worth it for me. I got 4 cables ran from where I'm sitting now in my office to the living room and to all 3 bedrooms. But then I found out like 2 weeks before closing that instead of having – coaxial cable, so it'd have a regular cable modem. This entire neighborhood was wired for fiber. All right, that's all we had, and they had to put the end point in the garage. Which I'm like, well, that sucks. Because hello, hi Jackie.
Hi.
So anyway, and I said it again. I'm sorry. But I for a while, I just stuck the main end of my router in the garage right next to where the fiber was coming in. But then I figured, wait a minute, I've got all the coax running in the wall and had coax ran to my office too, which I'll never use because I'm not a cable TV person. I'm a streamer now. I have Fubo TV for my live TV, which is usually sports. So I went to Best Buy and I found they had a coax to gigabit Ethernet adapter, and I put one in my garage, figured out which end of cable that was in my garage belonged to the one in the office, and then just hooked that up there. Then I was able to move my main router back into my office. The only thing it's downstairs is the coax to Ethernet adapter and the fiber point itself. So it made my garage looks so much better, too, because I had a power strip hanging on the wall for all that when they came and installed the stuff back July 2021. So finally I could get to use it all. And I have Asus mesh routers that I think it was run a lot of version of DDWRT, I think, from the factory. So, but the mesh routing works really well. So I have one in my office and one in the living room and then one in my wife's office. So, and Joe's flexing.
Wouldn't it just be the fiber to a modem and then the modem to the rest of the house?
Well, the fiber comes, it's fiber right into my house. So there's a piece of fiber that goes out to the curb in my that runs into my house, and then it plugs into the unit that's downstairs that has Ethernet coming off of it, so there's no cable modem involved.
Right. So it's basically like a fiber modem.
Basically, yes. So
yeah. And then basically you attach your router to the end of that, and then...
Yep, it's supposed to have... I'm supposed to get a gigabit, but I'm... The closest I've gotten is right around 700, which that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to... I know it's never going to get exactly what they said I should get, you know, because that's just the way modern ISPs are. So, and it's more than sufficient. I mean, we'll have multiple people streaming. I'm on a Zoom call, and then Windows Remote Desktop, and in a multiple SSH sessions. All day, no problems, and way better than what I had in 2020, in the early 2021, which was AT&T DSL 50 megabits, which is horrible. And then there was 6 months living, or not 6 months, 60 days living in a hotel while I waited for them to finish my house, because the last freeze Texas had
no, megabits. it was like 6 months.
No, it seems like 6 months.
Oh, you talked about it so much it seemed like 6 months.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but how often do I talk to people on here?
Does that mean that I have to listen to all your house stuff again? When did this turn into Joel's house?
No, this is technically oriented. I mean, come on. I didn't have to run all my wires, so... Yeah.
How about this Joel's CPAP? How's your CPAP machine running?
It's fine.
Have you reprogrammed it yet?
I don't need to.
I've reprogrammed mine a couple of times.
Yeah.
I have a appointment with my ENT because apparently I'm still snoring through my CPAP machine. So,
do you have the automatic one, or did they pressure range or something?
No, mine's a CPAP.
Okay, so it's supposed to figure it out for you, but it's not.
I guess.
So, you don't have to work on my... Are you surviving on nasal spray yet?
I use it every day. I don't use it a lot, but. I basically take a shower first thing in the morning, use my nasal spray, and then use
it directly before bed.
I do sometimes.
Along with taking 800 milligrams of ibuprofen to reduce swelling, if you're having problems.
I don't have any problems sleeping. I can...
Well,
I tell you,
snoring
I can
while
sleep.
You sleep, that's a problem.
That's okay. Yeah. That's a problem for my wife more than it is for me. Because
I
sleep like a baby everywhere. It's not necessarily a great sleep. I wake up some days where, you know...
Throat,
my head hurts. Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, you have apnea.
Exactly.
He has apnea of some sort. It's just a matter of he probably may have to go to another study, which that's the most ironic thing in the world is they have you go to a sleep study, but I don't know one person that sleeps well on a sleep study ever.
The ones that take drugs.
I probably could.
Yeah.
Oh, I can too. I have practice.
Again, I can sleep pretty well anywhere. But for me, I didn't ever had to go to a place to do a sleep study. They sent me the equipment, and I put it on before I went to sleep, and then I sent it back to them. Yeah.
Oh, no. I always had to go in. I always had to go into the sleep center, and then they'd hook me up to 50,000 diodes, and say, get comfortable and go to sleep.
Yeah, right. And you have a pulse oximeter on your finger because they want to measure your blood oxygen time. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's when I got friendly with some Tylenol PM.
Yeah, I take... usually they'll give me something or I just take my dose of trazodone because I do have trazodone for sleep.
Two Tylenol PM and two melatonin.
Yep.
And yeah. Something I feel like I have a hangover in the morning, but...
They always want you to come in at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. I'm like, I don't remember the last time I've gone to bed at 9 or 10 o'clock. Usually it's 1 or 2.
Wow.
And then getting up at 5:30 again.
But the only time I ever do 1 or 2 is on last night.
Yeah.
And it's usually 1.
I don't... We're going to work from home, and I don't have to start till 8 a.m. Some days I'll get up at like 7:30, so I have enough time to grab my coffee.
I wake up at 5:30.
Yeah, I don't have to drive in. So.
I'm not talking on days that I don't drive in. I wake up at 5:30.
Okay, but it's
but that's
one
because,
of the hardest.
Well, Joel, I remember the fundamental thing that those weights aren't going to lift themselves.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
You seem to have forgotten that.
Yeah, well.
Why not go to the gym anymore?
I'm going to start.
In January with all the other, you know, New Year, New Me people.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
After I have my pork's and sour crop tomorrow, yeah. That's my our good luck meal here. But just sleep apnea sucks. I mean, there's just no if ands or buts about it. It's like I keep telling the wife, there is that if I ever get to the point where there's that new implant you can get now.
The one that shocks your uvula or whatever, so it just opens it up automatically?
Yeah, and basically the way it works is you have an implant and you charge it with the device that you take with you, so it lasts with you overnight, and you don't have to wear a mask anymore.
Yeah, well,
but
you know, most of the time my apnea, yeah, I've gotten used to wearing my machine and all that jazz. But then sometimes if I'm extremely congested, there's a problem. Or if it was a really bad allergen day, then there's a problem. Right. And then the other day, oh my God, when the power went out in the middle of the night while I was sleeping, I woke up.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten the money to buy that huge Jackery battery that I can use at night.
Well, I've also seen like a lot smaller to style things that are supposed
those
to be
two,
coming out in the future. The things that just go in your nose and it's supposed to do it. And then there's a travel CPAP machine that ResMed makes that's supposed to do the exact same thing but use less power, have a smaller profile. But they want like $1,100 for that thing.
Of course, yeah. Well, and the thing, you just hit a hot topic with me, and one thing that pisses me off about those machines is that they're simple devices. They're not, it's a fan, okay?
It's an insulin pump. An insulin pump is a simple thing.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, they're pricing these things with the idea that people's insurances are going to be paying for a large amount of it.
Right.
So that's kind of that whole medical and money, I guess, would be a way to describe it. Yeah. And that's that whole field of things are charged a certain way because of the idea that most of it's going to be covered by insurance, and that's why you need to have insurance. And then, it's
what's what they're talking about.
I will tell you one little thing I found out too. Because what'll happen is they'll send me a mask, like everything, the mask, the headgear, and everything, like once every 6 months, I think it is. Oh. But then they'll
send me three every 6 months.
Right. They send they send me cushions too. All right. So basically, I swap the cushions out. I have to have a full face one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So then every 3 months they'll just send me the frame and not everything but the headgear.
Strap.
Right. I
haven't had to replace the strap yet.
Well, the thing is the strap's really the only thing that wears out. That and possibly rolling over on top of your frame. Yeah, well, that too.
The seal wears out.
Yeah, that wears out too. But the frame never wears out, and it makes you no sense to send me the frame. Send me the headgear. Well, yeah, that does wear out. That comes in my 6 months. Well, actually, that comes every 3 months. So, but
filters.
The filters, and that all comes.
But that one small portion that you're talking about on the new ResMeds, that doesn't wear out.
Right.
Usually, unless something catastrophic happens.
My mask is Fisher Paykel. It's a Simplus medium, but
with mine. I know when mine's starting to wear out because it starts making this whistling noise.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, the worst is when it gets like right by here by the eye, and you just feel that like gap of air pushing right in your eye. Mm-hmm. You know you're gonna die.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like, can I reseed it for tonight? Can I reseed it for tonight?
Right.
Let me fix it tomorrow.
But the headgear will stretch out, and that's the thing. It wears out quicker on me than the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
So I can go buy the headgear for like $17 on Amazon.
Oh, you're lucky. Mine is 30.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I could try a generic one. The specific one for my headset is 30. I could try a generic one and see how that one works.
It might work, but
my biggest thing
is not like it's a difficult tool to make. Two straps that are interconnected.
It's neoprene. Depending on what it is. It's neoprene or elastic band of some sort.
Velcro. I'll make that crap.
There you go. My biggest thing recently was, so I was getting my supply stuff from one of the local medical supply companies. And they're just basically, they're supposed to have some general basic medical knowledge as to what there's, what's going on with things. So I would, and at the same time, the machine I had, the Philips Respironics, there were the machine I was given from them was on a recall. And the only thing that they kept saying over and over and over again was, this was a manufacturer recall. We have nothing to do with this. Okay, fine, but I'm going to be down. I'm down this machine that you prescribed to me or you gave to me. What do you want me to do? And they're just like, yeah, this manufacturer recall. There's nothing we can do about it. Call the manufacturer, get your name on the list. And then,
no,
this is the only thing I heard from them. And yet they constantly, they will.
You haven't got the new one yet?
Right now. I can look at
they
my phone
right now. They
will
demand that you use it.
And they will constantly, I don't have like they're not sending me stuff monthly, so I'm basically ordering my own stuff as I need it. So they'll start calling me, and they'll call me one day, then they'll call me the next day, then they'll call me the next day, and then I'll talk to them and be like, look, I don't want anything right now. Stop.
Right.
And they'll stop for like a week or so.
Then that was me again. When they switched DME providers on me. Yeah, I was at one company, and then. And this all happened right at the time we moved in the house. You know what? So one company calls me and says, "Hey, you want to ship supplies?" And I apparently wasn't listening to the message. And I said, "Sure." And then the other company just sends me supplies automatically. So I had like a whole year's worth of supplies for one. And I'm like, so then I finally got the other company to stop freaking calling me because I'm like, I don't use you anymore, but to talk, you brought the interesting, you had the Respironics one, the Philips one, right?
Yep.
My wife did too, and she got her replacement, so.
The problem is that it took time to get the replacement.
No, right.
What I did was, well, I had my wife's help because she found it, was we just kept our eye on Facebook Marketplace, and eventually there was someone that hated their CPAP machine and died of a friggin' heart attack, and their spouse sold their CPAP machine, and it was the exact same model as mine, never friggin' used, and cost me, what, $100-$150?
Yeah.
For a fully working, brand new, matches my model exactly, I know how to reprogram a CPAP machine.
Right.
And now I have a backup. One goes down, and I bring up the other.
Yep. Well, that's why I never will throw out my old machine, especially since my old machine is exactly the same as my new machine.
My old machines are different, but they still work.
Right. The only thing I have to do to reprogram it is swap the memory card out, and I think it picks it up off the memory card. But or I can just bring it in and double check with my sleep doctor. If they're only in my city, like, maybe 2-3 days a week, so I just have to call them and find out when I can bring it in if I have to have
mine
swap it out.
Mine goes through the VA. I got to drive out to friggin' Dallas to get anything done.
Oh, that sucks. But, hey, what we ended up doing with my wife's, because, you know, the whole reason for the recall was cancer. So she didn't want to use hers anymore, and I'm like, well, you got to use one. So I said, why don't we take my old one over to the doctor, see if they can put your script on it, and that's what they did. So until the replacement came. But the upside is that she would have normally got her replacement probably this year, but now she doesn't have to. So
I should be due.
Yeah. It's about every 5 years. It depends on your insurance. And some insurance, they will watch your stats and stuff from it like a hawk, and they make sure that you use it. My insurance doesn't give a rat's ass.
Well, a lot of times when they do that, they have it for like the first 90 days or something like that. They have it to make sure that you're using it.
My dad refuses to use his. Like, I just can't. I can't do it. I can't sleep with it all night. Okay, well, just practice.
Right.
Okay, I finally did get my dad to go get an exam, go get a sleep test and all that, and they did figure out he doesn't have it, which I thought he would because he smoked from the time he was 14 till about 2003. So,
yeah, but I'm not sure that really has an impact on apnea.
It now, can.
The thickness of your neck has an impact on apnea.
Right. But when I've actually witnessed my dad stopping, you know, like he falls asleep in the recliner and I heard him stop breathing, I'm like, I was concerned. So I'll hear him gasping for air and stuff. He doesn't wake him up, but you know. So, but he did get tested. And he's fine. But
which means he has few enough instances of stopping breathing that it doesn't count as apnea.
Correct.
That's kind of scary to think about, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I figured out too. I probably had it. I would say probably since I was 18 or so. I mean, because you know.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons I probably overate was because of there was that.
There was a time in my early 20s where I hadn't been diagnosed yet,
mm-hmm.
Right after I got out of the military, so I assume that this was also an issue while I was in the military, where I was afraid to sleep because I was having horrible nightmares and felt like I was choking. And, you know, everybody assumed that it was PTSD. Okay, grand, fine, whatever, it could have been. But it turns out what it really was I was choking when I was sleeping because I had apnea. Yep. And I was snoring so loud that my wife tried to kill me once or twice while I was sleeping. And I went and got tested and got a CPAP machine, and now I get to live.
Right.
Yeah. What really pissed me off about that recall, too, was, well, there's two big things that pissed me off. One was the fact that because I had to sit there in the company that gave me the CPAP machine that had that was defective or whatever, didn't want to do anything, and I didn't have another machine. I wound up spending about a year sleeping on the couch because...
got to sleep in an elevated position to keep from dying.
Right. It's that and the fact of if I didn't, my wife would, and, you know, it's either me or her, and then so she, if her sleeping on the couch, she winds up getting, like, issues with, like, her back and her side and stuff, and I can sleep on the couch and be fine. It's just I want to sleep in my bed, you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's my bed. I want to sleep in my bed.
Freaking expensive now, too.
Well, that I want to sleep in my bed with my wife, which would be nice, you know.
That too, right.
Not to have one of us sleeping on the couch because of some issue like that. The second thing is, if you looked at the what it said with the recall for the sleep apnea machine, number one, the issue with the sleep apnea machine was if you had used a certain type of cleaning material on it, that it broke up some of the noise canceling stuff inside of it, the foam. And if the foam got into you, then that could cause problems. But one of the things that they recommended, if you absolutely still had to use the machine, was there was a filter you could buy that would go in between, like, the mask and the hose that was supposed to filter out if there was actually any of the particulates. Nobody wanted to share that information besides that. Or be like, hey, you're having a problem with this, buy this. And then after a while of sitting on the couch, I figured this out, and I went on Amazon. I could buy a pack of 12 and for, like, $15 less.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I've been sleeping on the couch when this has been a viable option, and the people who are supposed to be selling me and taking care of my equipment, you know,
they don't care about my equipment.
It's just been like, manufacturer recall.
Yeah. Okay. I feel real good about our medical people, right?
I was all talking smack about this turning into Joel's CPAP podcast, and then I spent like the last hour talking about CPAP.
And that's what I fully understand.
It's important. It's an important topic. Sleeping's important.
Yeah, because like I said, because I still snore with the mask on. I've been on vacation this week with the holiday and stuff, and so I'll willingly sleep on the couch, but I would much rather be sleeping in my bed.
Yeah,
and that's just the fact that the medical supply companies are just basically they're supposed to have somebody on staff who's supposed to have some medical knowledge to help you out with these situations. They basically don't give a shit at all, and they're just there to push their product as much as possible, and that's very frustrating.
I got so used to sleeping with my CPAP machine that for a long time that if I didn't have it, I couldn't sleep. I did reteach myself how to, like, sleep in a chair, take a nap in a chair and things like that. But if I go lay down and I don't have my CPAP machine, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
I can tell when I don't. You know, if I accidentally fall asleep or something. When I do finally wake up, I have a splitting headache, and you know, the only thing I can do is feed caffeine, and I feel like crap. So I mean, it's just
mainline
I can
caffeine.
Definitely tell it. You know, mainline caffeine, take some Excedrin migraine, and then move on with life.
Because the Excedrin migraine has caffeine.
Caffeine, exactly. Right.
I do something on some nights where I like push my tongue into like the roof of my mouth or something where I can feel it in the roof of my mouth the next morning. Some weird stuff, something like that.
I should be putting water. Yeah.
I'll get that swelling and that pain.
Yeah.
Right mm-hmm. here or in the roof in the back.
Yep.
And
it sucks. Yeah,
it makes me a very unhappy person that next day.
Absolutely.
And Mike can put the water into it to put a little moisture in with it. But the problem is,
right.
At some point I gotta sit down and actually play with it to get it set right where it doesn't feel like hot breath on my face. Because
right.
the hot breath on my face is absolutely miserable, and I'm not doing that. And,
right.
and so my choices are either hot moist breath on my face or drying my mouth out where, you know, I wake up first thing in the morning and I gotta drink a cup of water just to...
Yeah,
if you fill that up and then set your heat at like a 1 at the lowest setting,
yeah.
then you'll get the you'll at least get some moisture and you'll get the least of the bad side effects that comes with running hot water through one of those things.
Right.
Which includes mold.
Yeah.
Yep. One of my things in my insurance changed, and they used to give me the heated hose, but they just give me the regular hose now. Fortunately, I don't have the
hose.
Yes, there's it's going to depend on your machine. But
right.
mine has if you look on it, there's like a port with like two wires right below the hole, and that's for the heated hose. And basically, it heats the hose to avoid rain out. So what happened is as the moisture's going up the hose will get cold because it's room temperature, right?
Right, and then condensation in the hose. Okay, I see mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Yep, so the heated hose would prevent that. And I also think it has a better connection to the machine as well, myself, but that's just me. But they won't pay for it anymore, so I'll have to look and see how much it costs for one of those. But I have one thing I will in the summer, because it's generally more humid here anyway, I usually don't run water in my machine, but I actually need to start running it right now because it is the winter and the heat is on and drying out the air in my house.
Right. The only time I worry about it is when allergies are bad because it helps keep things broken down in the nasal passages.
Right.
Makes sense.
Then I have the sneezes in the morning when I wake up my nose.
When you have a bit of gas and
yeah.
it just... builds up in the chest, but because of the pressure difference with the CPAP machine, once you take that off and it just like all comes out and you're just sitting there.
That happened when I lost weight, a bunch of weight once, and that happened to me. I actually had to have them turn the pressure down.
But try having apnea. Then you'll know what nightmares are.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Pokey.
Hello.
What? JoJo's phone, he stole it again.
Uh-oh. Is he cut off?
Yeah. Well, it's because he can't regulate and sleep at night, and he has to, you know, do things like get up and go to school.
Well, yeah, they don't have school tomorrow, though. Or
that's true.
Or
that's
Tuesday.
True, but he needs to start getting in the habit and not
right.
staying up until 3 a.m.,
yes.
which he was doing on school nights when he actually did have school, because he would sneak off and steal back his electronics from wherever they were.
Hey. Yay.
You should put the charging port in the garage.
Yeah.
It's
good luck getting past Dan.
It's an S7, so
micro.
Still, at night, it's got to be charged inside the garage where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he'll sneak out after I go to bed and steal it.
Is it comfortable in your garage now, Joe?
Right now, yeah. It's great. It's not freezing. Look, I got short sleeves on. I'm not sitting here shivering or anything. It's like 70, or it's probably like 50. Computer, what's the temperature? 58 degrees.
58. Computer, is that not an Amazon device, is it?
It is.
Yep.
Okay. You just did the computer instead of the A word.
Well, yeah.
I might change it to Ziggy.
Mine in the bedroom is set to computer. Down here, it's Echo. In the living room and the kitchen, it's Alexa. And in the upstairs kids' bathroom, I have those little like outlet ones that you stick in the. It's a plug. It just sticks in the outlet.
Right. Computer Amazon. Is fun, right? Using computer sure. as your activating word right. is fun, unless you work with computers.
Yeah.
And you're constantly talking about computers. Triggers.
So rename it to like Echo.
Ziggy. Well, I was going to use Ziggy because Ziggy is an option now. It wasn't originally. Right. Yeah, Ziggy is an option.
Ooh.
Now, which is why I'm. But you know, everybody in my house is very, very used to using computers, so it'll take a while to transition. I have one transitioned right now, and then later on, I will start transitioning more of them until I get to all of them.
Have you changed any of the voices yet?
Yes.
I got.
I have used Samuel Jackson, and I have also.
Oh, you did Samuel Jackson.
I have the male voice set as the default on this one.
What I did, I think I did the Australian and one British and the other, and I did just for fun the Canada one, which really wasn't much that much of a change.
Canada, eh?
Computer, delete my home directory.
Ask Samuel what time it is. Computer, ask Samuel what time it is.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Computer, have Samuel tell me about them snakes on that plane.
Yeah. That reminds me, someday I should probably try one of the Minecraft devices, just for shits and giggles.
Build your own first.
That's what I mean.
The problem is the Minecraft systems are so damn expensive.
Yeah.
$400.
Yeah, it's not hard to build your own. I mean, I got a Pi already with the screen on it, so all I had to do is get a microphone.
Yeah, basically.
You know, it wouldn't take much. It's just installing all this stuff.
It's a Raspberry. But, it's still Raspberry Pi based, so
see, and that's why
it's all still open source too.
Yeah, and I'm one of those insane people that have both the Echoes and the Google Home stuff. Of the two, I like the Google Home stuff a little bit better. I think it's faster.
For
just giving it commands and stuff.
Okay.
I have less lights and stuff on it now because when we built this house. I don't want to make it talking all about the house, but when we built this house.
Well, we're talking about cool stuff, so.
Right.
I do want to set up home.
Smart stuff. Yeah, that would be awesome, too. Now, the light fixtures they put in, we have these, they look like can lights, but they're not really, all over the house. My dad used to call them barn lights. Any light in the ceiling is a barn light. But because they put all energy, energy efficient when they build this house, they're all LED fixtures and the lights are built into the fixture, which means when it burns out, you gotta replace the whole fixture.
Oh,
and there's not much room above it. Otherwise, if there was, I would probably get all the can fixtures and call up an electrician and say, put these in. And I would put smart bulbs in everything.
So I never liked the idea of the smart bulbs.
Like, put in the smart switches.
Yeah, well, the smart
switches. Well, that's what I can do now.
Down here in the basement, I have one of my basement lights. And it's one of those things where you screw it in and then you screw the bulb into it. Because my thing
right.
is, the bulb is going to burn out way before that switch will or whatever it is that you're plugging the thing into.
It depends, you know, because smart bulbs are LEDs, so they last a whole lot longer than the old curly Qs or the incandescents.
Yeah, they still burn out, trust me. And even the ones where the light bulb doesn't burn out, a lot of times the portion that, you know, connects to the Wi-Fi will burn out.
Right.
There's one right there. I am aware of this. But like with my overhead light, the computer, turn off Stampede.
There you go.
That one, the light itself is just a regular old light bulb, an LED
right.
bulb. And then it goes into a socket that has all the Wi-Fi stuff built in.
That's, yeah, right.
You know,
that's what I'm talking about.
Smart. And right. then that screws into the regular socket.
Right.
Right.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And that works
and
out great.
That's what I got down here, too, in the basement is one of those.
Computer, turn on green. Like
right.
green. Is its own, it was a smart bulb. Now it's hooked up to a smart socket.
Right, there you go.
Because
you're better off. There's less of a chance of that smart socket burning out than the smart bulb burning out.
Well, then you also run into this situation, and this is why I probably, if I do this, get the switches, I'll probably look into seeing if I can't get them to run the open firmware, because the light bulbs and stuff we used to have at my old house were Sylvania Ostrom Lightify bulbs. They just shut the system down last year. They will not work at all.
I did pick up a couple of smart bulbs, like the bulbs themselves are smart. Right. I did pick up a couple of those the other day, but that was because they were on clearance 2 for $10. So,
right. Walmart had several, I try to remember the name brand, but those were Wi-Fi bulbs. Mercury Innovations, that's what they were, I think, if I remember right. And they were the ones that had could change colors too, which was actually kind of nice. But I don't know on those. See, the bad thing with those is you're pretty sealed and there's no chance of opening it up and reprogramming the firmware in those. So, and keep it functioning. I did watch Tony Bemis did a good presentation, and they should really record an HPR episode for that on setting up Home Assistant and all that stuff. And technically, I probably could do Home Assistant because the security system and the few – I have one smart switch that controls the lights out front and both the one on the porch and around my garage, all right? And all of that stuff and my lock, the smart lock I have on my front door is Z-Wave, so in the thermostat as well. So but it all works through my security system. I really have no complaints about my security system, but there is always a chance that they may not support it in the near future. So something I'll have to address when that happens. But, for now, I'm fine with it. At least where they did put it in my house, if I need to take the panel out, it should be easy to take out. I just have to remove the panel itself from the mount and then pull the cable from, unplug the power pack, which they didn't wire it directly into the house, which that's okay by me. It just had a power pack that they fished the cable up through the wall so you can't see it. All right. And it's plugged into the outlet right below it. Kind of sucks the way they had to do that, but, the builder doesn't put that panel in ADT does because my system's an ADT system. So, but I can eventually add, I have like sensors on my windows, into my bedroom and in my son's room. My wife has a motion in her office. My office doesn't have pretty much anything because it got to the point where I figured out if I wanted to put sensors everywhere with them when they came to do the alarm system install, it would have ran me about $2,000.
So do you know if Zigbee plays with Home Assistant?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it does. Zigbee and Z-Wave are pretty much the same thing, I think. Uh-huh. But I'm pretty sure it will. All you have to have is like the USB-C Wave dongle that you can plug into your Pi or whatever you're using. So I'm pretty sure it will.
I would do that just to play around and see what you can control with it. My biggest thing with Home Assistant is most of the stuff that I do, I have integrated with Amazon and Alexa
same here,
stuff. So which doesn't actually work well with Home Assistant. So if Home Assistant would work with Alexa, then I would have
Home Assistant did work with Alexa if you were using IFTTT.
Yeah, I have to do that.
Using IFTTT. I don't want to pay for if this then that, and I don't. I don't
have
necessarily
to pay for IFTTT.
I think there is a prescription.
There is. You can. There is a one-time thing that you can pay for.
I think it's if you go over a certain amount of API calls, I think.
No, I was using it so much at one point in time, a long time ago, that I just friggin' paid for it. But that was a long time ago. And then I stopped using it, and then I went back to using it. And, it's all still there and paid for, so.
Yeah.
I said I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
I've looked casually into if this and that, but not like
if Danny were here, he'd probably be talking about the Sonoff, but
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What I'm interested in is, right now is this ESP8266.
Yes.
That is supposed to be able to hook into Home Assistant. And I think it actually, the API will actually work directly with Alexa. But okay. Yeah, I'm interested in trying that out and seeing what I can make work from it.
Right. But, The big thing I miss from my old house and the old Lightify system was I had bought motion detectors, and my son had this annoying skill of not being able to turn the light off in the hall. You know, and he had been in the hall in hours, but the light's still on. So I put the motion detectors on there. It says, turn on the light when you detect motion. Turn it off when there isn't any. And that way that light in the hall stayed off. I know it's completely minor because that light was also an LED fixture, but you know, it did the job. So, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I kind of want to get a motion sensor in my laundry room, which is right on the other side of this door.
Yeah.
So I get a warning before the freaking door opens because I'm jumpy.
Those little motion sensor buzzers. Like they have the doors.
The joys of having PTSD, and yeah.
But yeah, it's like I was cleaning the laundry room, and my son, for I don't know why, had gone outside for something out in the garage. And I'm standing there, and I've got the closet door open because I'm putting something away. And all of a sudden, the garage door comes flying open. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah. I kind of think about that. If I want to put smart switches in, the switches themselves aren't pricey, and I have put them in before. But if I'm doing that many of them, I'd rather pay someone to do it all so that it's all done in one day. You know, for me, it would take a while. You know, it's because I don't have tons of time. But yeah, I guess I can say I'm lazy. And I'm completely fine with that.
I guess it depends on how extensive you want to go with all that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, generally, though, I don't, do I wish I had them again? In certain places, yes, but I don't really care about it as much as I used to. I do have schedules set so that the lights outside come on automatically at sunset and then go off at sunrise. And I did the same thing with my Christmas lights outside. But then it's badly, like, my son still will hit the switch to turn the light on. So I fooled him. I just put a routine in Google that says, shut the light off every hour. And I'm like, it's daylight. Those don't need to be on. I'm like...
Yeah, I think we had something similar with, like, the Christmas tree. I had a plug in there. So it would turn on at a certain time and then shut off at a certain time. The biggest thing is I find with the I use the plugs for light switches as basically like where for lights that I don't have a light switch for that should probably have a light switch. So like there's a light in my bedroom that is way over to the side. And the light switch just covers one that's over a plug that's over to the other side of the bedroom, so it doesn't really help. So I have a switch hooked up to that. Same thing with my son's room. I got a switch hooked up to one of his lights in his room. It's just it really works well for like voice activated light switch,
right?
Because the light that I need is not in the spot where it actually has a switch. Like we had the one in the living room, especially because my living room has like two light switches. One turns the outside light, and one doesn't do anything that I can tell, and it doesn't affect any of the switches in my living room. So I put a plug up to it, and so I can actually control the living room light. And I have that one set on a timer too, so it'll turn on at a certain time and shut off at a certain time.
Makes me wonder. Is that near, like, an attic access?
No.
Okay.
It's by the front door. Okay. Makes you wonder whether there was something else, like, outside.
Huh.
Because one covers the outside light, But which one? I'm not even exactly sure. I think they both might cover the outside light. I'm not sure if it's just lazy wiring or there was two things outside at one time or
maybe.
Yeah.
With mine, my house, it was built in 2020, 2021, right in that time frame. My city requires them to put a light socket in the attic.
Oh, yeah.
And it has to be controllable from a switch. And really? The whole reason is when they come and do the inspection to make sure they put enough blue enough insulation into my ceiling.
Right. They want to be able to see it, not just fiddling around for.
There's a gauge that they nailed on one of the pieces of frame up there where you can literally look over it and see how many inches of insulation you got. But, yeah, so it's just, I'm like, well, okay, well, that's the most useless switch in my house. And then every other room, every other house I've ever had, almost every room had at least one switch that was switchable. And that was in every room. In this house, no. The only switch that is like that is in the living room. There is a switch that will control the socket. It's just to the right of where my TV entertainment center area is. So I'll plug in, I have a little Christmas village we put in on top of that during Christmas time that I'll be taking down in the next day or so. And that's what I used to use that switch for. Every other time, there's nothing plugged into it. It's just, and I'm like, and all the other rooms just have the lights in the ceiling. I don't need lamps anywhere in the house, really. But although the one thing I would like to get lamps for is when I want more subdued lighting than the ceiling fixtures will give me. Because they are bright. I have, technically, in here, in my office, there's two, but there's also three because I can see the top of the stairs. And I got a light at the top of the stairs and then a light at the bottom of the stairs. And I almost always leave it off, but because my son likes to come fart around up here, literally, it's still on right now. And I'm pissed off about it. kids just have no idea that electric costs money.
Most of them have no idea that anything costs money.
The whole thing is they're aware that it costs money, but they're also aware that it doesn't cost their money.
Yeah, that's right. Right. But I used to think, if my smart thermostat burned out, would I replace it with would I replace it with another one? I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah, I have the Ecobee set up.
Okay.
And I enjoy being able to use, because it integrates with the Alexa, enjoy being able to number one, if during the summertime, turn on the AC and have it set, before I get home to get the house cool, either for me when I get home or if my mother-in-law was dropping off the kids and hanging out with the kids at the house, it would get it cool for her.
And so you know what the temperature is. You can check it at any time to see if anybody's messing with it.
I enjoy being able to just, use the, the Alexa devices to set the temperature.
Yeah, right.
Which is, let me tell you, I have dumb thermostats, and there are reasons, because in Texas, if you have a smart thermostat and your electric company knows about it, they will reach into your house and control your temperature for you. But
no.
Well, yes. I understand that you had to kind of buy into that.
Yeah, they'll give you cheaper electricity for it. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something where you had to sign some sort of an agreement where you basically let them do that.
Right.
Yeah, but they didn't tell you that. But anyways, I have dumb thermostats and they're programmable.
Right.
It would be much much easier to go through a much much smarter interface.
Right. Yeah, because me and my wife will have a battle. Because my office is over the garage, it's always the warmest room in the whole entire house. So she'll get in her office and it's cold, so she'll go and turn the thermostat up to 72. Not later, it's 80 in my office, and I'm like, no.
In the garage. Well, yeah. There's ways around that. She could just cover her vent, close her vent.
Well, that's what I do. The one that's right in front of my desk, at least in the fall and winter, is I'll shut that vent up. It doesn't really help, though, because, the heat rises up.
Being out there and more exposed, yes, I can see that. What I'm saying is with her office, if she closes off the vent or narrows the vent,
or allows uses the space heater she has in her office,
and allows stuff to head your way instead of, you know, stopping off in her office, then you'd be better off and she'd be comfortable.
Yeah.
I think the opposite is true, because he's the one overheating and she's the one freezing.
That's right. I'm over.
Which is why if she closes off her vents, it should push the cold air further out, right?
Yeah, and I would switch with her, because at least her office has a door, because it's the third bedroom. But too much shit, and I wouldn't fit in there. I got my 3D printers, I got a 40-inch TV, I got an Apple IIc and an Atari 800XL. I've got all sorts of retro stuff around me. It's like, yeah, I would never fit down there. But
you'd find a way.
Oh, yeah, I probably would, but if I really wanted to. But it's not going to happen, because I like my space. Really, in the summer, it's fine up here. You know, I do have to I did 3D print some I have curtains in my office, so I did 3D print some clips that'll help me keep those closed. Because usually what happens is, as the sun sets, because it faces what my window faces west, the sun will shine right in my window in the office and usually land on my computer screen. So I try and make it so that none of that comes in. I'm usually pretty successful at that. But it's only the end of the day that's bad in the summer up here. So it is, let's see.
Late?
Yeah, it's 2:15. I probably should get going and get to bed, because I do have to serve in the morning as the video switcher. So, and Happy New Year to all, and we'll see you next year, maybe.
Yeah, talk to you on Wednesday, Joel.
Yep, we'll see you, Joe. Thanks for having me on, and hope you have a good one, Hunky.
So who's left on? Nobody.
I resemble that remark.
I'm still here.
Hey, Verbal, how's it going?
It's going.
Oh, anything exciting?
It's 2023.
Is it? It is. Allergies are already killing me.
Did Gorgon go to bed?
Yeah, Joel went to bed.
I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to stay up for.
I'm there with you.
My kids are going to be up in 3 hours.
That's what Cartoon Network is for.
But then they'll want something. Yeah, like I said, because of my snoring, I've decided I'll be the one sleeping on the couch for it. And in fact, on my vacation, I decided I'll be the one to be on the couch. So they're going to come downstairs at 5. And after about being downstairs for about 5 minutes or so, it's, Dad, I'm hungry. All right. So
I'm hungry. I'm feeling excessively violent this morning.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how well that fixes things quickly.
Yeah, we'll try it. Oh, man. Morton's the answer to this channel?
You don't like it all curly like I like it. I didn't think you wanted to play that tonight.
Hi, Verbal!
Hey, hey.
What time is
Hi.
It?
What time is it? Hi, Zora.
Hello.
We're talking about her curly hair.
Hair naturally.
I like it curly. She doesn't like it. Was that Mordency?
Mordency, what time is it where you are?
We're on the jitsu still, Mordency.
2:20 p.m.
1:20 a.m. here.
2:20 a.m. here. Well, 2:18 a.m. here.
But we're on the jitsu still. Or again, I should say. We've been off a couple of times.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, you're home. To drop the airport.
So if it's 2:20 p.m., does that mean you're all partied out from, you know, the New Year already?
Yeah, already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went to bed about 2 a.m. local time here in Thailand. Her brother's the fireworks. They were like the big ones that you can buy. Must have been, what, 60 of them? about 10, 15 meters in front of us. Oh, it was terrifying. I thought of Final Destination the entire time. Nothing could go wrong.
Taken out by the fireworks.
Yeah, so since we missed the plane to fly north to see her family, we were going to have somebody drive her car back, and we were going to, I think our return trip's still, I don't know. Sorry. We were going to fly back together because we still have those tickets, but it fell through, somebody driving her car back to Bangkok, so she's going to drive, and I'm going to fly.
Oh, it's a drive. Is that the one that's 6 hours to turn into 12?
6 hours was 14, but that was because of the it was the biggest holiday day. Everybody was traveling. So it's like the 405 in California. And Google Maps needs some active contributors in Thailand. There's a lot of things corrected.
Sounds like a job for Mortensen.
Open street map.
I can't read the street signs. I have no idea.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, so yesterday marks 2 weeks without a cigarette for me, or without nicotine for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I'm really jonesing right now.
Oh. You didn't want to, like, did you go cold turkey with,
turkey.
With the vaping?
Cold turkey.
You just want to cut, like, strill up, that slowly shit didn't
work. That shit didn't work for me. I tried that several times, even just, you know, keep doing what I was doing, just lowering the amount of nicotine.
Right.
And that just didn't work for me. And so one day I just said, to hell with it. I'm a non-smoker as of tomorrow, and that's what I've done so far.
Now, would you vape without any of the nicotine?
I can. I don't have anything set up right this minute. I suppose I have some CBD, but I would have to clean a vaporizer. It might be helpful, the CBD. But I was trying to stay away from the physical habit, too, because, it's pretty easy to get drawn back into it.
Well, I mean, so when I quit, there wasn't much vaping around, really. Vaping was just starting to get popular, or just starting up. So I, when I quit, it was like a straight cold turkey. But I tried one of those e-cigarettes or whatever, those like disposable ones, and that was just like a weird experience where it just like the nicotine or whatever just kind of numbed my lips, and it. But
maybe the hiccups.
maybe I don't know. It was. I enjoyed still having that feeling of smoking, the motion, but I did not enjoy the weird numbing of the lips feeling, and just I think part of what I missed altogether was just the motion and the action of smoking as opposed to just the nicotine itself. That didn't taste like I'm a horrible quitter when it comes to smoking because I miss the whole smell and taste of cigarette tobacco.
I miss my mango kiwi. Plus, it has really messed with like my hunger signals.
Oh yeah,
so I'm way over on my calories almost every day. I'm up like 8 pounds since I quit. It's pretty good for 2 weeks.
That'll happen.
Hmm?
I said, yep, that'll happen.
Find some real healthy food that you hate. And eat it when you're hungry.
Really healthy food that you hate.
Like lima beans.
Oh. I love lima beans. I love lima beans.
No.
The only thing better than lima beans is edamame.
Try the edamame.
I'll agree edamame is better than lima beans.
I'll agree that just about anything.
I'll agree that just about anything. Like hominy. I hate hominy. I'll eat lima beans, but I will not eat hominy.
I like food.
You like food?
I have not tried the rat. It's been offered to me 2 or 3 times now.
Rat?
Rats. I would eat it. I would eat it. I would eat it.
No, but not allowed to eat rat.
I would eat it. Rat. No, I've eaten cat, I've eaten dog, I've eaten snake, I've eaten alligator. I would eat it.
Squirrel?
No, I don't think I've ever had squirrel. I've had buffalo.
Gritty and rainy squirrel. Yuck.
Dove, whale, game hen.
Love.
Have you had beefalo?
No, I haven't had. I haven't had porcupine. I've had a lot of deer. Whole lot of deer.
Yes.
Like, I grew up in Iowa. You know, I spent a lot of my youth in Iowa, and sometimes the only way you ate was went out and shot it.
Bear or beaver?
No, I. Well, I don't know if he's being sarcastic about the beaver.
Well. Listen, we've all eaten that.
My brother ate bear up in Alaska, along with everything else. I don't know about beavers.
Alligator is delicious.
Really?
Yeah. do recommend. See, now you got me confused. No, the other beaver, you just said it was terrible a second ago. Or now I don't know what the hell you're talking about, bro.
My brother had bear in Alaska and everything else in Alaska.
No, we get it. Pokey likes the polar bears.
I said I didn't like the squirrel.
No.
Squirrel! Squirrel!
Polar bears. They're people that like jumping into frozen ponds. Generally male. Yes. Generally furry.
Oh.
Not to be confused with otters.
They're the skinny ones. They look like bears, but they're skinny. All right.
Look up Polar Bear Club. You'll figure it out.
I know.
I know.
it was probably more in reference to the conversation.
Well, at least squirrel stew is easy to make. I mean, you just got to get the bowl in the right position and aim your shotgun correctly. Like I said, easy to make. It's not easy to make if you're using a .22. If you're using a shotgun, it gets all pre-shredded and mixed up.
Better off with just a pellet gun.
That's basically what a .22 is.
Hi, Ned Miner.
You.
We miss you.
Every bullet so far. My .22 pellet gun from back in the day was okay, but if I was going to use the .22 pellets, I tended to prefer my slingshot over the pellet gun.
You have a decent aim with it?
With enough practice.
Can you imagine hunting beaver? Like going out there with a gun down by
the You man. Talking about being on the pool?
Out there beaver hunting. Of course.
You've been married a long time, too.
Just we'll saying. A $20 bill folded in half, laid it down gently.
$100 bill in your zipper at a strip club. Oh, we were talking about slingshots. I 3D printed this one.
Nice.
Yeah, I want to get the longer three elastic pieces so I can get more pull because the draw on this is pretty shit. I want one that does a full-on, like, arm-length draw. I can pull it back by my ear.
That's what she said.
I bet she did.
You don't hunt beaver, you trap it. Yeah, well, that's true, too. And again...
Well, you can't irresponsibly shoot into water. I mean... That's the whole thing about water, is it's going to slow your bullet down quickly. It's not really going to cause a problem, which is why when you go fishing, you don't use a gun, you use dynamite.
That's right. Well, fishing in bulk.
I got a whole bunch of these. They were low cost, the rubbers.
Can you get ricochet off of water?
Good question. If the angle is very, like, acute, good thank angle. You. If the angle is very acute, then yeah, I suppose you could get a ricochet.
Huh. I never thought of that. Makes sense, though.
But I think he also said extremely shallow, so you'd be ricocheting off the bottom, wouldn't you?
That would be
stupid.
Because if it goes, well, it'd have to be like a hard bottom, like hitting a rock or something.
Okay, so he is saying the surface of the water, and so he is talking about an acute angle. Like I said, that's why you don't use a gun to go fishing. Use dynamite. Yeah, that makes sense. With the acute angle, a BB, the slightly slower speeds...
Right.
I could see how that would skip very well across the water. You got a pretty mouth, Mortensen.
Thank you.
Oh, you knew it already. Don't pretend like this surprises you. Oh, but I'm going to keep that slingshot till the next time I head out to my dad's house in Florida. Give it a try out there. Ain't no real place to shoot it here.
No.
Normally I would have gone out for Christmas and still be out there now, but that just didn't work out this year. But hopefully with my promotion, it will put me in line for other positions at the company. I can get a management position, and that will come with a pay raise. And I can do things like afford to go visiting people.
I think you need to get a pay raise and transfer to somewhere out of Texas.
I would like to get somewhere out of Texas. It's just not as simple as that.
I know.
And where do you go? I mean, New Mexico?
Somewhere that's
Southern
not as
Colorado?
Stupid.
Where is it not as stupid?
I like to say that the Northeast isn't as stupid.
Yeah, but it's the Northeast. Okay. I have some issues with cold. What do you want me to say?
I can't argue with that.
I've expressed my issues with cold. You've seen me when it gets cold in Texas and how much I hate myself.
Hate yourself? Or just hate the cold?
Yeah, my body hurts because it's cold.
Yeah.
So Verbal, you should talk more, so I can talk less. Join us on the Jitsi and talk more.
I gotta get a webcam.
You don't need a camera. Nemiter's always on here without a camera.
I was, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna hook up this piece of garbage camera that I got for $10 that I was telling, I think I was telling you about it a few days ago. Honky, was I telling you about this cheapo
the one that you
camera
got
that I got?
Five Below?
Five and Below, yeah. It's gonna come in as upside down because I don't have a proper way to mount this. But I'm gonna switch cameras if it'll let me. Can you see my camera?
It looks very dark.
Computer, turn on Stampede. This is a high quality camera right here.
Not horrible.
That's it. Arm length. It's supposed to be a dash cam, but I do like that you can potentially use it as a webcam. And literally $10 at Five and Below.
That's about as good as the one in my Lenovo G430. How is this, at least on my end, this looks a lot cleaner.
Looks like shit.
Oh, really?
When I'm looking at it, yeah.
Oh, this is a new camera.
And this is as far away as my other camera, and it looks like, you know, I've got it shoved up my nose. Now, it automatically switched back to my other camera. I didn't do that. Okay, it switched back again. Must be because I'm moving around the thing. Got disconnected, reconnected. But do you see the difference when it switched?
Oh, yeah.
But I think I'm going to 3D print a different mount for it if I want to use it in here like this, just for screwing around. I do like the fact that it, you know, costs $10, and it's a webcam. But I got it. Hold on, let me switch back. I got it because I wanted to play with the screen. I want to take it apart and see what I can do with the screen on the back. You know what I mean?
Yep.
See if it's usable for any other type of project.
Yeah, not bad for $10.
Just pops off that little mount there and slides back onto it. Like I said, it's made to mount to your dash. It's a dash cam, but it's an extremely shitty one. But if that's a 17mm ball, then all I got to do is like hook it up to one of my other adapters, and I'm good to go. But I think it's smaller than that. So I might need to 3D print another adapter.
All right. I would love to stay and talk for the rest of the night into the morning.
I got to get going.
But I should really, really, really go to sleep.
Sleep is healthy for you.
It'd probably be a good idea. All right. I'm going to check off right now.
Well, what time is this supposed to end in the morning?
So the time that I'm going to be checking, the last time Zona Cross is over, I believe is 7 a.m. But if there are people still in the room, I'll just keep recording going until there's nobody in the room or there's people in the room and nobody's talking for a while. And I'll kind of check in to see if there's anything going on. And then I'll just shut it down afterwards. All right.
Well, hello, Verbal.
Hey, hey, hey.
Like it's you and me against the world.
I think so.
I've just been studying up on some stuff I'm going to be doing.
What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be putting a server control panel on a lot of my computers. And part of the control panel includes VM management.
Sounds awesome.
Well, the nice part about the VM management is it may actually work remotely. And the control panel does updates. It does a lot of stuff, storage management. I've got all kinds of plugins for it.
So when do you think you have it up and running?
Well, I've got it running on my main machine here, but I haven't used it much. It'll take me a couple of days to recover from this double all-nighter. And then I want to get I have a small mini PC server that I'm going to be configuring. So I will probably do that. And then as part of that installation, I will include the dashboard.
Yeah, I've been watching the Adafruit site, and they are just not like, they don't have any Raspberry Pis in stock. So it's like crazy.
Well, I may set up some Raspberry Pis for 24/7 operation, but what's going to replace my desktop or tower-based systems is going to be the, what they call a 1 liter PC. It's a it uses a relatively low power processor. The ones I'm aiming for are 35 watt, and is a very miniaturized, about the size of a regular hardcover book.
Is it ARM-based?
The ones that I'm looking at are x86, specifically Intel.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Well, even getting them through Amazon, you could get them cheaper than you can Raspberry Pis at the moment.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I think I recently saw a video that was saying that people, you know, they're still making Raspberry Pis, but they're mainly supplying it to like larger companies that kind of depend on selling Raspberry Pis to keep the you know, business going, rather than selling them to like end users. So they're trying to take care of those people first. But yeah, hopefully, you know,
evidently they're, especially in Europe, there's a large or a substantial industry which uses them as the core of industrial management or monitoring systems.
Exactly.
The Raspberry Pi Foundation says, allegedly, they had some 100,000 units for this Christmas. It was supposed to be let out at list. I don't know if they ever got out at list without getting scalped. And things are supposed to be tight through the first quarter of this year, that is to say 2023, and second quarter they're supposed to be easing, and further normalization through the third quarter and the rest of the year.
I can't wait for that.
Well, I may have to shuffle some. I have 1 8 gig Pi 4, and I have a 2 gig Pi 4. And I may be shuffling those around because I want to set up a Pi as an app cache and as a DNS cache for my home network. And I may have other tasks for it, perhaps local time service or other similar functions.
You know, I have to check and see what's going on with like old droids. Maybe they're a little bit easier to get these days. I don't know. I have to check.
Well, one system, if I were going to look for something else, the Orange Pi people have what they call a P800, which is a keyboard computer. It uses an RK3399 or something like that processor, which is a hex core machine. However, the RK units, I think, have 4 full-size cores and 2 which they reserve for lower power idling operation. I don't know how it works, but it's supposed to be they have 2 more limited function cores and then 4 full power cores, so that when things are idling, the higher powered sections of the processor are put to sleep.
I have to look into that.
Well, I'm going to be working on setting up, basically retiring a lot of my older desktop machines. Not that they were fire-breathing gaming machines, but for any kind of long-term use up here in the Boston area, they're just too power-hungry.
Yeah, I could see that.
Eventually, I may try to find a second source, eBay or something else, for the smaller server. I'm also going to be interested in seeing how the market reacts to me with machines that are officially not Windows 11 certified.
Yeah, I have no use for Windows machines.
But what I'm suspecting is that machines that can run upgraded to Windows 11, like what I've got is allegedly the third generation of this mini computer package. The fourth generation is allowed to upgrade to Windows 11, and you'll see those machines are sold at a premium.
Yeah, I can see that happening, yeah.
And these are refurbs off lease, but the machines that are just slightly older, which don't have a Microsoft-approved upgrade to Windows 11, will gradually become more, they'll be less favored in the market, which means their price may drop.
Yeah, that sounds right, about right.
But right now, I've got to get this one machine configured. I built it with two SSDs inside, one of them half a terabyte, and then another one is going to be a full terabyte.
Yeah, I just upgraded an old desktop that I had about maybe a year ago to a SSD, and it's doing quite well.
Well, I found out a bit late that this has, well, first, the boot drive that came with it is a Brand X 240 gigabyte drive, and it has the capability of taking either SATA or NVMe M2 long form drive, what they call a 2280, 80 millimeters long and 22 millimeters wide. I could have used the NVMe drive, but for the kind of stuff that I'm going to be doing, I don't need the absolute best in speed. I need inexpensive and bulk storage so that I can set up laboratory networks under the hypervisor and not really worry about them being a little slow.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
And also, since I don't know Docker or any of the myriad of pod solutions, I wanted a lot of room for different experiments and storage for the same.
So which VM are you using?
I'm using the native QEMU EMU as the basic hypervisor.
Okay.
Now, I may be running an emulator to run an emulated DOS system because I really, you know, I like the challenge of working with the minimum tools of DOS in the modern age.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey. Hey, as long as you don't go back all the way back to CPM.
Oh, I may go back further than that. I'm in Massachusetts, and we were the home of Digital Equipment Corporation.
Oh, so you can probably find some of that stuff laying around somewhere or online.
Well, there's a two-legged project because there are two development channels for something called SimH, Simulated Hardware. With a modern processor, I should be able to have an entire army of rather primitive system. The PDP-8, which I've had some personal experience with, had a 12-bit word, generally used 6-bit characters, and had 32K of 12-bit memory.
Now, did that one have like a big disk pack, or did that come later, like with the PDP-11s?
So, a standard single platter drive, which was removable like a pizza, carried 2.5 megabytes.
That's crazy.
Well, it also supported deck tape, which was your basic sort of videotape with 250-some-odd K of memory, 32K 8-bit, 32K 12-bit words. And it's a very simple machine, an accumulator, and it's a very, very primitive machine, but that's what I grew up with, and it was available up to, I don't know, some fairly substantial hard drives, at least for the time.
Which would be nothing compared to today's hard drive sizes.
Yeah, I also saw a hard drive adapter made to hang off of the old OS 360 Revit, you know, OS 360 stuff with all kinds of peripherals.
Right, right.
And that same generation, they had these straight eights, which were basically something like your average bar fridge, a tall bar full of circuit boards, about the cards with discrete logic on it, and it plugged into a backframe that was wire wrapped. It was the wire wrapping was a fascinating project where the machine would have one of several heads, and under computer control, the you know, these mini computers were used like you would a microcontroller these days. The ones I took apart to salvage their transistors were part of the disk controllers of a transistor era mainframe made by Digital for a long time, ran its computers based on a 6-bit word or a 6-bit byte. I think the first of their 8-bit ASCII machines is the PDP-11.
Okay.
And the PDP-11 is so popular that there's a Raspberry Pi-based panel and emulator kit that you can get for it. The kit emulates a PDP-1170, which was a 16-bit machine with a, I think, 22-bit address space. So they could get about 4 megs of main memory into the machine, probably minus some space that was used for peripherals.
Okay.
An interesting one of Digital Equipment Corporation's later computers was called the PDP-15. It was contemporary with the PDP-11, but as it was getting long in the tooth, they didn't want to create new devices for it. So what they did is they hacked a PDP-11 as a storage controller or as a device controller, hung off of this 18-bit computer, so they could use PDP-11 accessories with this 18-bit relatively low production machine.
Okay.
Now, if you want to do things with Amigas and other things, they are making a lot of cards for the Raspberry Pi that turns it into a peripheral controller, as well as providing a network stack and everything. So, you know, you can use anything from a standard Pi to a little Pi Pico or whatever, Pi Zero.
Yeah, those were really nice machines. The Amigas, they were wonderful.
Well, if you hang a Raspberry Pi off of an interface card, you can get your entire Pi can be basically a buffer cache for stuff that the main system is calling for. But and these days, just like back in the day, you can slip a Raspberry Pi into your Amiga, probably works similarly for the Ataris or whatever, and have the modern ARM-based system handle all the I/O while the processor's just there being spoon-fed data, and generally handling anything from terminal concentration on up.
That's amazing.
Well, what's really amazing is you can take a Raspberry Pi with appropriate additions, hanging off the serial port on your CPM machine, and using a modified Hayes command set, which your terminal program can be programmed in because it's simple ASCII. You can take your old gaming, low-end gaming machine, and put it on the internet through Telnet or FTP or some other protocols, but it just makes the computer think that it's talking to a dial-up modem. And later on, Telnet is not a secure protocol, but it does bring back memories of logging into these various things, looking for company or Usenet postings, including the racier ones, converted to text.
Oh yeah, definitely. Hey, I remember using the old VBSs with the dial-up modems and things like that. And then I remember, I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it was FidoNet or whatever, but saying messages from, places Hawaii and, the West Coast and the East Coast. And that was just amazing back then because, usually when you had, dial up, you were dialing local places. But then, hey, I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was just amazing to see people calling in from all over the country.
Well, a lot of it was your computer would have two or three serial ports and they'd have their modem. And usually there was some kind of a schedule when, so you could know when the machine was going to be tied up transferring files. Often they would do them and got off in the morning or something.
Right, right.
But just like Unix to Unix copy, which is where Usenet came from, FidoNet would call, I believe it was modified hub and spoke architecture, so that the FidoNet would look basically at your verification code and may well have someone waiting for the old shift to close out while the new shift is sitting on its hands. But the whole deal is you would make these local calls, and then sometime in the night the bulletin board would call a hub system and pass stuff on, and that system may call another system in the area or a regional hub or what have you, until eventually the messages got pushed over the phone upstream into enough routing hubs so that the messages got spread to all of the bulletin boards who were part of the community.
Right. Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, what was amazing is that they were doing this stuff with relatively unmodified PCs, some of them as limited as an Apple II. And all this stuff was real memory, so unlike your PDP-11s where your Unix to Unix copy and Usenet came from, these would be relatively unsophisticated, ordinary desktop PCs or towers. But because of the economics of things and whatever was going on in the country, these networks would be dial up over both to the client computer and to whichever administrative hierarchy network they belong to. And they were doing this with very limited memory protection and none of the modern bells and whistles that even the simplest Linux machine would have. Multitasking, preemptive things, timers, all the bells and whistles.
Definitely, yeah. See, now you got me thinking, trying to remember what was the name of that multitasking software that was out there. I can't remember the name of it.
Desk.
Exactly. That was it. Yeah, DeskView.
So IBM had their own similar version whose name escapes. Multitasking or DOS required, which was the basis of Windows 3.3, required doing some fairly cruel and unusual punishment to a very simple and straightforward program loading system.
Yeah, and then back in those days, you had Sidekick, which was like a terminate and stay resident program that, you could just pop up like a little notepad and other things. That was amazing back then, too.
There were a whole bunch of programs like that. Now I have to step away for a minute, and I'll be right back.
Hey, no problem.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is.
hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.